Hello, and welcome to the 15th episode of AD Game Club, the monthly video game club podcast where we choose a game from the past to play and talk about in depth. I'm your host, Andrew, and joining me today is my best friend and co-host, the man who kills all of the Metroids unless they're a baby, David.
Yes, new and improved with color and 3D.
The 3D was nice, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty more improvements to talk about other than that, but at the top of the show, I would like to mention that AD Game Club has a Facebook page. You can find it at facebook.com/ADGameClub. There you can keep up to date with us throughout the month and participate in the conversation by leaving comments. And unless you have something to bring up, we can get straight into the game.
Yes, let's.
Okay, so this month we played Metroid Samus Returns, the 3DS remake that came out just a few months ago from Metroid 2. They remade it into Metroid Samus Returns. Well, it was called the Metroid 2 Return of Samus.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, let's get into what was our familiarity with this game before we played it. Would you like to start, David?
Yeah, I actually played Metroid 2 on the Virtual Console last month, using a guide when I got lost, which was frequently, because there's no map in the original Game Boy version. But it was pretty fun, and then I got a chance to kind of compare them playing the remake this month, so that was fun.
And I would actually really like to hear some of that, because I have tried playing the original Game Boy version a couple of times, and I never even made it out of the first area just because of how it's just not very friendly to play at this point, this far out from... I mean, I'm sure when it came out on the original Game Boy, it was great, but at this point, like, there's just too much of a difference. So this remake was really well-timed and warranted. Probably even more so than the original NES version, but I already knew most of the story events of Metroid 2 because Super Metroid picks up immediately after this, and then Fusion again references back to this, so like every game seems to reference back to Metroid 2. So the fact that such a pivotal, like, story moment in the Metroid franchises was always just this really hard-to-play Game Boy game. Again, fantastic choice that they decided to go back and remake it as a more modern game.
Yeah, I kind of... When playing it and thinking about how it comes up so often in the later games, I wonder, like, what was the inspiration to have Samus kind of save a baby Metroid at the end? Because it seems like at the time, it may have just been, you know, a throwaway thing to happen, a twist to happen at the end, kind of like revealing that Samus is a woman at the end of the original Metroid, but that one decision turned into a major plot point for the rest of the series.
Yeah, it was probably Super Metroid was already in development, and they just needed a connective game between them, and that's what they decided to do.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
So, and how about your familiarity with the series as a whole, since we're already talking about it?
Sure. I love the Metroid series, and I have played all of the 2D games except for Metroid 2, as I said earlier. The glaring omission from my Metroid history is that I have not yet played Metroid Prime. I have tried... but like just that immediate tutorial area, I have tried a couple of times, and every time the scanning mechanic, I have this compulsion whenever there's a mechanic like that where I have to scan everything, but at the same time, scanning things, at least to me in that game, felt so boring that I would always just bounce off of the game. So, I've had a lot of games where I just have to sort of brute force my way through the beginning and then I'll love it, but I just haven't had that, like, push to do that with Metroid Prime yet. Even though I keep hearing everyone say it's, like, one of their favorites. It's on my list. It is.
That's interesting, because scanning items is one of the things that a lot of people say is their favorite.
I know.
I enjoy it. But I also enjoy reading pages and pages of lore in games like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, so that's part of it, certainly.
I know. I'll occasionally get into reading stuff like that, but for the most part, I don't know. What I always think of is Final Fantasy IX had a card game that you can start playing in the very first area. Mm-hmm. And Tetra Triad or something like that. But yeah, the first three times I attempted to play Final Fantasy IX, I would always get stuck there because I had to just keep playing that game until I mastered it, and then I would bounce off the entire game because I just couldn't get into that card game that is completely optional and not the point. But I get stuck on those types of things sometimes, and it hurts. But if I can power through...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've played basically all of the Metroid games, including the Metroid Prime. The only one that I've not actually finished is the original Metroid on the NES. But the also while looking up a list just to double check, I remembered that there was that co-op game on the 3DS that I think came out last year.
Okay, no one counts that.
Yeah, but that doesn't even have Samus in it, and everybody was mad about it and then immediately forgot it when new games were announced.
It was so. Everything I heard was it was also mediocre at best. Like it was a throwaway waste of time game that no one even bothered with.
Yeah. Maybe the most interesting thing about it was the little sports mode, but that was barely a thing anyway.
Were there even Metroids in it?
I do not know. I didn't even look that far into it when I found out it was... I mean, it's a co-op mission-based game, so you have to group up with three other people and go through a mission to go to this place and fight this thing, and that just immediately lost my interest.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we've covered everything before we get into the actual game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so spoiler warning, we will be spoiling what little, well, I mean, we've already spoiled pretty much the entire point. There's you can sum up this entire game in a paragraph, in less than a paragraph, but it's just, because most of the prequel of it is after the events of the first game, which is you fight Mother Brain and the pirates, because they're trying to use these Metroids to, I don't know, defeat the universe or something.
Yeah, they never quite explain how, but they definitely want to use the Metroids as weapons.
So at this point, the Federation is all like, hey, we should investigate these Metroids that are so powerful. And then they eventually decide, you know what, these things need to be exterminated. We're going to call on Samus to save the day. And Samus is sent to SR-388. To find all of the Metroids and kill them all, committing genocide. Because why not? That's a great story for a video game. And that's what she does. She goes to the planet, commits genocide of all the Metroids and any other monsters that are there, you know, because they're in the way, I guess. But then the twist, as you mentioned, is that right after killing the queen, one of the Metroid eggs hatch, and the last baby Metroid is born, and because she's the only living thing there, attaches itself, it imprints itself to Samus.
A lot of Metroids attach themselves to Samus, but in a less endearing way.
But yeah, imprints itself and considers Samus as its mother, and this is enough for Samus to decide, you know what, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to keep you, even though you have already been determined as one of the most deadliest and dangerous species in the universe or something, I guess. And then you run away. And because of that, it leads into the events of Fusion, which I love and we'll be getting more into right now. Why not? So, yes, sure. I love the fact that this game has a post-credit scene showing that an ex-parasite on the planet SR-388 infects one of the Hornoids, which I found especially amusing because right after finishing this game, I decided to replay Fusion because of this scene partially, and also partially because I needed to like compare this game with a previous game. And I thought it was fantastic that what the Hornoid transforms into after being infected by the X-Parasite is the exact same X-Parasite-infected Hornoid that you run into and infects Samus at the beginning of Fusion. I thought that was a really great Easter egg right there.
That's awesome. I didn't even realize that.
And I always felt like, because the series basically ended as far as the timeline after Fusion. And I always have this feeling that Fusion destroyed Metroid. Because I always felt like it was a great series, and then Fusion happened, and then they decided, you know what? That's the last of it. We'll keep doing these weird like side stories before the events of like Super Metroid, or during the events of Super Metroid, or like around that time period, but we're never going to touch what happens after the fact. So the fact that they would show the X-Parasite in this game sort of like reinvigorated me of maybe there are other people out there who love Fusion and they make these references to them because there is a love of it, and it and I'm wrong about the whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it almost makes me wonder if I think they did say it was a Metroid Prime game that will be on the Switch eventually.
Yeah, Metroid Prime Four.
Wonder if that will connect to the X-Parasites and Fusion instead of just being another weird interquel.
Yeah, the whole point of the X-Parasites is that they were, and this is getting into the lore, is that the Chozo created the Metroids to specifically be the counter to the X-Parasites. And so I love the fact that they found this way of, hey, you destroyed this thing that you thought was going to be like this terrible thing, but in doing so, you actually released a far more dangerous species.
Yeah.
And I always loved that.
It turns out just wiping out a major part of an ecosystem can just throw everything into chaos. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember now, but I want to say that there was already, like, the Metroid, which is also technically like a parasite, I guess, or it acts like a parasite because of how it feeds off the energy. It was already a species on the planet, but the Chozo came in there and just, like, super charged it and made it just, like, crazy powerful, because they were so scared of the X-Parasite. So they like supercharged the Metroids into becoming what they eventually would become. Anyways, that's like weird Chozo lore, which they do kind of show in the, if you collect all the items, they then have an art gallery which showed off in picture format the history of the Chozo. I don't know if you checked that out.
I didn't look at that. I should look at that. I actually have several Metroid amiibo, but I didn't scan them because I didn't particularly want to, you know, like get free stuff to make the game easier, but it did say that they would unlock more art in the art gallery.
Oh, cool. Anyways, so, is there anything about the story you want to bring up?
Yeah, so there was a big difference between, a few differences in the story, but the big difference between the original and this one is that after you defeat the Queen Metroid and sort of adopt the baby Metroid while leaving, just before you get to your ship, Ridley shows up and grabs the baby Metroid and tries to run off with it, and that triggers this whole additional multi-part boss fight, which was a lot of fun, but it was also like I was not expecting that at all, because I thought, okay, I already played this game and I know how. Well, I guess that's how some of them work, is you defeat the final boss and then run to the end.
Yeah.
Admittedly, some of them do have you run to the end and then you have to fight something before you get on your ship, like Fusion, but
there was,
because I had already played it, I wasn't expecting there to be a whole extra boss fight with a classic Metroid character inserted.
One of the tropes of the series, in fact, is there is always a moment, in my experience, that there's a timer, a countdown, because like the space station you're on or something is about to blow up. and you have to escape within that time limit. Fusion, like you said, had it. Super Metroid had it at the start. Like, each game has it, but this game notably did not have any sort of countdown, you have to get out within a time limit sort of sections.
Yeah, I don't... You know, I don't remember. I don't think that the Game Boy version had a timer either, but it did funnel you toward the ship, so it was also the clearly a decision to just let you, well, at least after defeating Ridley, to let you run around collecting everything with the Metroid, with the baby Metroid, which we'll get into later. But like I said, that was fun and surprising, just because I thought I knew, you know, how the game would end after that point.
So was there also a giant mechanoid fight in the Game Boy one?
Nope, that was new as well. The only non-Metroid boss was that, like, roly-poly thing that gives you one of your Morph Ball upgrades.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, it was all Metroids.
Hmm. Anything else to mention before we get into what we liked?
Nope, let's get into it.
Okay, go ahead and start.
So, obviously, a big difference between the Game Boy version and this remake, and a major feature of every Metroid game from Super Metroid on, is the map, which is extremely useful, because unlike the original, you can actually see where you've been and where you need to return to. Because a large part of the structure of the game is that you find... well, it was also interesting that they made this a lot more clear in the remake, but there'll be some area where there's a pool of acid or some other corrosive goop that you can't pass through, and you need to defeat a certain number of Metroids in the area before that will recede. In the original game, there was just a shaking, and then you had to go back to wherever that was, and that was very difficult because the map is confusing and overlaps on itself at certain points. In the remake, you have an actual map that you can reference that tells you where to go, and there's even a statue that tells you, hey, when you've killed this many Metroids, come back here and the path will open. And that was so much better.
One thing that I would like to bring up specifically, because you mentioned it, the shrine, I particularly liked the fact that if you ever got lost, if you couldn't find that next Metroid, you could go back to that shrine and interact with it, and it would then point to, hey, here's the closest husk, so that you can at least have an idea of where you should be looking. And I thought that was extremely useful in not getting frustrated just wandering around lost.
I don't think I ever noticed that it would do that.
Oh, really? I did that whenever I started getting frustrated. When you first interact with it, it doesn't really do anything. But if you go back to it, like if you only have two of the four or something like that, and you interact with it, you'll inject your two, and then it'll tell you, hey, here's the next one you should go after, effectively.
See, I just didn't return until I had all of them in the area.
Okay. Anyways, but that was something I really liked that I knew wouldn't have been in the original, but I definitely want to point out as, like, that is a good quality of life improvement right there.
Yeah. It also added the little Metroid detector that beeped when you got close to them, which was very helpful in tracking them down.
Yeah, the whole, like, sort of hot-cold sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the map goes, I also really liked the sonar that they give you pretty much at the beginning of the game. Because it really helped in other Metroid games. You could find... like, I remember there was an X-ray sort of vision in Super Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it actually revealed the squares around you in that. But yeah, it's just, Metroids have always been sort of like finding the maps around you. And the sonar really helped in that of finding, hey, here's every compartment. It doesn't necessarily tell you how to get to that square, mm-hmm. but it would at least reveal it on the map, and you would have an idea of, hey, I should be looking somewhere around here. And that was always helpful, too. And also, for the Metroids, for the most part, are always found in a very similar size, like, map area. So if you can find that, then you can find the Metroids themselves.
Yeah, and that actually reminded me of Super Mario Odyssey, which I also played this month, because in Super Mario Odyssey, there, in each level, there will be a Toad that you can talk to, and for 50 coins, he will put a mark on your map telling you the location of a Power Moon that you haven't collected yet. So it's I feel like this is a trend in Nintendo games now, and it's a trend that I like, where it has a built-in hint system that you can choose to ignore or choose to get, like, a general hint that you're missing something. And
yeah,
in Samus Returns, most of the game I decided not to do that intentionally, because I wanted to search for everything on my own first, and then eventually, well, in some areas I would just get tired of feeling like I'm definitely missing something, and I would use the sonar, and then at the end I was missing maybe a couple of, well, a lot of places, you know, I marked on the map, because you can also put your own little custom marks to say, like, oh, I need this power to get through. But even after I returned, I was missing a couple of upgrades, and so I could just run across anywhere I hadn't already scanned and keep hitting the sonar until I found the hidden room that I was missing. And that was much more convenient than, say, bombing every wall.
Yeah, this was definitely one of the easiest Metroid games to 100%, in my opinion. And I like, you can use the, what was it called? The Power Bomb to clear out pretty much everything in an area. That was, of course, a weapon that's been used elsewhere in the series. Was the Power Bomb in the original Metroid 2?
No.
No? Okay.
No, a lot of the upgrades were new, not just the Aeon powers that are
specific. Oh, yeah, I figured that was.
Because those haven't been in any Metroid game before, mm-hmm. but the Power Bomb was also new, Super Missiles. Basically, anything that required you to, like, switch your controls over, because that there was no option to do that on the Game Boy. It was just jump and fire.
But yeah.
The Spider Bomb was actually originally introduced in Metroid 2. So that was the only thing besides this. Well, let me think. I guess, yeah, Screwball, Spider Ball, I think, and then various weapon upgrades. And I think that was it.
I purposely waited until I got the baby Metroid at the end of the game to really go find all of the upgrades. And I really enjoyed the fact that there were a couple of puzzles that you could entirely bypass by using either the baby Metroid or the Super Bomb. Like, in this game, there's a lot of those vents that will suck up your regular bomb. Mm-hmm. Because that's usually designed of, that's where you're supposed to exit. So they put a block there of not letting you bomb your way past. But if you use the super bomb or the power bomb, that breaks those squares without having to worry about the little sucky thing. So I could just jump in and grab the upgrade. And I really like that. It saved some time.
Yeah. For the most part, I tried to solve puzzles, like, without, you know, but, well, I went back to them a lot of times whenever I got a new power, so I tried to solve them without doing that. At one point, though, I went to one that had one of those little vents, and I just, like, I, for whatever reason, I hadn't been able to figure out how to get it, so I just used the power bomb, and I thought, maybe this is just what you're supposed to do. And, of course, using the power bomb cleared another block, like, half a screen away, that was, I was like, oh, that's where I was supposed to go. Oh, well.
Yep.
I solved the puzzle.
I thought that was nice. That some of their more frustrating puzzles you could just bypass at the end of the game if you wanted.
Yeah, there were actually a few that had those weird crystals that the baby Metroid clears away that For a while I thought that was just, you know, an upgrade I would need later, which it kind of was, but eventually I went back to those and realized that a lot of them were sort of, like, there was a way to get through it and get to the item without clearing those crystals, and they were just kind of a backup to let you get that backtracking through the game.
Yep. One thing I would like to bring up that I really liked that's been new to this game, for Metroid series, was the parry. I really liked the fact that, because of this parry mechanic they added, they could also make the enemies far more aggressive in nature than they've ever been in previous games. Every previous game, the creatures would always sort of move around in a pattern, and they would rarely interact with Samus when she was on screen. So I really thought it was great that now when you get close to these, they actually react to you and will very obviously attack you with a parry timing that you can then basically instantly destroy them. And it would give you the Aeon energy if you pull off a parry. So, like, I never was running out of the Aeon energy in this game. Health all the time, but the Aeon energy I had plenty of.
Well, see, I probably ran out of Aeon energy more often than you did because I would just keep the shield on most of the time and not, or at least whenever I got to low health, I would just put on the shield and lose the Aeon instead of health.
I would too, but the Aeon would only shrink if you get hit. And again, if you're parrying, you're not getting hit. So, yeah, overall, unless you're going through, like, an acid pool or something like that, I don't know. Or a boss fight. Oh, my God. We'll get there, though. Anything else you want to bring up that you liked?
Yeah, another thing that I liked was the Aeon powers seemed like a fun variety. Like, some of them didn't really change the gameplay a lot, but just were nice improvements. Like the sonar was an Aeon power, the shield, the super attack, and then the only one that was like a traditional upgrade that sort of unlocked new areas, well, the others kind of did, but the only one that felt like it was that new was the time slow. And
oh yeah, yep,
but all of those were
The collapsing tiles to get through those. Yeah.
Yes, that, maybe this was why I liked it so much, because it was one of those things that just felt like cheating all of a sudden. Like, there are collapsing tiles in pretty much every Metroid game.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least all of the 2D ones, and then they just gave you an upgrade that let you run right past them. And you didn't even have to, like, get a huge running start like the dash in other games. And so it was just like they finally gave you a way to cheat your way around something that has been an unskippable obstacle in every game in the series, and that felt extra fun. And in general, the fact that they gave you, you know, Aeon powers that were just for defense or just for attack, that made it a little interesting that you could choose to use up your energy on an annoying area or enemy and just, you know, have to refill it later.
Yep. Was there anything else? Oh, one thing I wanted to mention that I liked about this game was all of the evolutions of the Metroids. I've never played the original, but I really like the fact that you're fighting 40 of these Metroids throughout the game. That's the point, is that there are 40 of them, I guess. And they will, like, every 10 or so give you a new evolution of that Metroid to be fighting. And I really like the fact that the not only in that way is it always changing how you're interacting with these Metroids or the movesets that you're having to learn, but just it added a good amount of variety as far as fighting Metroids go. And I figured that maybe at least one of those forms had to have been new to this game, but probably not. Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah. Compared to the original, the Metroid fights are very much improved. Probably the besides just having a map, that would be the biggest improvement, because you spend a lot of the game just fighting these Metroids and the rest of the game finding them. So first of all, in the original, the only way to hurt them was with missiles. There was, for some reason, the ice beam didn't affect them after they molted the first time, so you pretty much had to just shoot missiles at them until they died. And similar to what you were saying before, they had a few attack patterns, but a lot of them would just sort of move back and forth and shoot at you. And so this remake vastly improved that and lets you shoot them with the ice beam, with missiles, eventually super missiles, makes them react to you by having different attack patterns that you can, sometimes you can parry and get a series of free attacks.
Yeah, very cinematic. Like, I love the fact that you would just sort of, like, grab onto and sometimes, like, mount the Metroid and just unload. That always really fun.
Mm-hmm. And it even made some of the Gamma fights, the Gamma Metroid fights, more interesting by having you fight it for a bit and then it would run away and you had to go find a passage to follow it and find it again.
Yeah.
And the manual aim, because in this game, if you hold the L button, Samus will stand still and you have a full 360 degree aim, and that made it a lot more dynamic as well, because you could stop and shoot at it as it flies overhead, whereas in most 2D games your options were straight up or at a 45 degree angle, so you'd have to actually like run shoot while it was moving back and forth.
Yep.
So I think that they did a great job of improving the Metroid fights, which is good since that's the vast majority of the boss fights in the game.
Yes, I agree. They did always stay interesting for the most part. I feel like, and I brought this up as something that I kind of did not like. I feel like 40 was just a tad too many. I think that if it had been 35, it would have been a better count.
Yeah.
But that's just me, maybe.
Interestingly, that was something that they had in the original was, during the whole game, you had a count of remaining Metroids. So that was part of the... Well, it was also part of me looking up guides on what to do next, because it would always say, like, well, you won't be able to get to the new area until you have 35 Metroids left, and then 30 Metroids left, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same as this one, basically. And there was one area which, once you filled it up, like the shrine up a certain amount, it then shifted the poisonous water to cover part of the map that you had already been to unlock another half of that map. Like, that was also kind of cool. Two shrines that in one area. So they did always keep things at least a little interesting, which I really enjoyed. The whole Metroid thing, really it's a nitpick for me, the mm-hmm. number, the amount, because overall it was really fun all the way through. I do want to make sure that's said. Like, it's a dislike that there were 40, but it's a nitpick at best. Yeah. Anything you want to say as far as a like or dislike? Are you done with likes?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with likes. I think we covered everything. I think, in contrast to the Metroids, there didn't feel like there was that much variety. Not that there was less variety, but I expected more variety from the regular enemies, in the game, towards the end of the game, it just felt like almost everything, you know, you would approach it, wait for it to attack, parry, shoot, and so I kind of felt like it was missing something, that most of the enemies would attack you and you would need to parry, compared to other games where you would have to figure out how to, you know, avoid or hit them based on their natural movement patterns. Although, I guess that probably wouldn't work when you can free aim anyway, because it's not that hard to shoot something that's buzzing around if you have full control. So,
and as far as that goes, like, pretty early on in this game, like, definitely before the midpoint, you get the phase beam or whatever, which allows the beam to go through solid matter. So you, at that point, you can completely be playing outside the range of most of these regular beasts, but still be able to hit them even if there's a wall between you guys. You can just, like, kill an entire room. And then, yeah, once you get the power bomb again, you can just kill everything on the screen with the one blast. Like, at the point that they started becoming annoying, I was already so powerful that it didn't really matter. Or screw attacks. That's, once I have screw attack, that's the only way I move around the map. And I'm perfectly fine with that, because even if they do the aggressive attack, they're dead when they hit me.
Yeah, that's, like, okay. Always, that's always the case in Metroid games. It's once you get the screw attack, that's all you do to move from one place to another.
So yeah, I didn't really have a problem with them.
The other thing was, like, prior to getting the screw attack, it seemed like the way that they would, you know, have harder enemies as you get further into the game is they would just be immune to your regular weapon. So now you
have to parry, yeah. Or you have to parry, or
use the Aeon gun or missiles, but then you get further and now they're immune to missiles.
And yeah, they always require more hits, or they're a little faster as they're going. Yeah. And I think some of the mechanoid ones at the end have, like, an electric shield that you can't even screw attack those, and you just have to avoid those. But they're so sort of slow moving that it doesn't even matter. Yeah. Again, I didn't really have too much of a problem with that. But one thing that I guess we didn't bring it up yet, but the controls, like, they did a great job of the free aim. But the fact that the free aim locks you in position is really different from the previous games. In the previous games, like you said, you could do the 45 degree. But that didn't lock you in position. You could still move around while aiming at the 45 degree angle. Right. And this game, it wasn't easy to do that. That was sort of a give and take, in my opinion. But the fact that you have to constantly be, like, swapping between your freeze weapon and your regular energy beam weapon was stupid. In previous games, when you get the freeze beam, that just, it's a new part of your regular beam. You're not having to switch between the two. Same with the missiles. When you get an upgraded missile, that's your new missile. Like, I got really frustrated with the fact that they kept making these things as upgrades that are now you have to choose them using the touchscreen, and sometimes you have to, like, be holding the R button and then use the touchscreen at the same time. Yeah. And it's just, that control scheme was just a disaster, and I don't know why they decided to do that when none of the other Metroid games did that. Like, all of the other Metroid games have been great for controls, and then this one, they just kind of, like, went, hey, we're going to give you a whole lot of options and make the controls a mess.
Right. Well, I will say, super missiles have, that you have to switch between regular missiles and super missiles have been a thing for a long time, but I do agree that it was a real pain to have to switch by holding R and then pressing the touchpad, usually while dodging a Metroid trying to kill you.
So I can say, like I said before, I just replayed Fusion, and at least in Fusion, when you got the super missile upgrade, they just added that in, as your missiles are now more powerful.
Hmm. But, as I say, yeah, I found that switching on the touchpad awkward. I will say that I thought having to switch between the normal and freeze was interesting because I actually find it annoying if every enemy I shoot, I have to shoot twice because the first one just freezes them. But in the original game, you actually could only use one weapon at a time. And most of them were just straight up upgrades. Like, you know, the wave beam could go through walls, and then whatever the phase beam or whatever it was could go through walls and enemies, mm-hmm. and was more powerful. But you had to switch between them. You actually had to go to an upgrade room and get the other upgrade again. And toward the end of the game, they actually give you another upgrade shrine to switch back to the ice beam, just because, well, like I said, for some reason they made all of the evolutions immune to the freeze beam, or to the ice beam. So at the end, when they have the twist where a bunch of new Metroids are hatched, then before that, they give you the ice beam again so you can fight them. So at least being able to switch back and forth as needed was a lot more convenient than that. But I can see, I mean, it was still annoying to, like, each time you died and reloaded, you have to switch again because it defaulted to your regular beam. And I kind of wish it had remembered the beam and the missile you had selected, because every boss fight, I wanted the ice beam and the super missile because I'm fighting a Metroid.
Fusion, even, they added the ice to the missiles because the Parasite infected, Samus and is weak to the ice and stuff. So, mm-hmm. There was something I was going to bring up that I really... what else? Was there anything else that you wanted to bring up as a dislike?
Nope. I think you were gonna... you already talked about how it was... Bosses were difficult,
I mentioned
right?
The bosses thing as an aside, but I do want to say just... I really think that this game was too punishing in its difficulty for a normal mode. Like, there were some boss fights that I had to attempt 6 or more times... specifically thinking of the giant mechanoid.
Yes, that one I had to fight many times.
Oh my god. Like, even once I would figure out, I know that I have to put the bombs in the little purple dot of the spinny things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would destroy both of his arms and I'd be like, yay! And then it's like, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And it's a new pattern, and his attacks are just devastating to your health. I would just die, and then I'd have to replay that first part again, and then I'd get to the second part, and I'd figure it out, but I'd make a mistake, and then I'd die, and it was just, oh my god. Like, again, replayed Fusion. Their boss fights there are tough, and if you don't pay attention, you could die, but... you're not going to get punished like this. And I don't know why the difficulty was so high in this game. And I don't ever plan to check out the hard or fusion hard versions of this game. Because, mm-hmm. oh my god, fusion hard is 4 times as difficult. Or, like, they deal 4 times as much damage per hit. What? That's insane to me.
Mm-hmm. So... particularly noteworthy moments. This is funny that this was something that you mentioned as a dislike, but one thing that I found really fun was that most of the time the game will explain all of your new powers to you, but when you get the power bomb, it does not explain how to use a, I don't know if there's a specific name, but a power bomb boost, where if you are latched onto a wall or floor with the spider ball and use a power bomb, it will launch you in a straight line, kind of like the spark dash or spark. There's a specific name I'm forgetting, but when you store and release dash energy in previous games.
Yeah.
And I figured that out in one level because I kept going back and forth through areas that had these narrow paths lined by spikes and was trying, and I kind of figured, okay, previously I would have to use a grappling hook to get through there. I can't do that now. Maybe I need a weapon that will be able to, I think it was when I got the power bomb, I thought maybe this power bomb will be able to destroy those spikes, but it couldn't. And just by looking around the environment, I thought, okay, well, I can't stand here, but there's a part jutting out, and if I line up, if I crawl on that with the spider ball, it would just line me up with that. Well, what happens if I do this and launch myself straight through? And that was a really fun feeling that I figured that out based on the level design and the context instead of having it spelled out explicitly.
Yeah. And you do kind of very shortly after getting the power bombs. You get the power bombs from the mechanoid, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like immediately after that is a opportunity to use the power bomb to just like launch yourself if you are paying attention. And then shortly after that, there's an entire like puzzle area that's based around it. Yeah. It's good. It's good design. And yeah, if you are familiar with previous games, you know that that is a pretty common power-up of being able to just like line dash yourself or something. So I had a particular moment that I wanted to bring up that you brought up the whip.
He does have a whip. Tail. That's fair. Our old friend Whipley. Whipley Snidelash.
OMG. The Ridley fight.
Whipley Spark Dash.
At the end of the game is sort of like a three-part fight. And it is, again, it's a fight that I died against like six times. But the final fight that I was against him of like finally feeling like I've had enough, like I just need to beat this game. Like I had already collected every item in this game, every power up. Like I should be just mowing him down at this point, right? I should have like all of the health. I should have all of the bombs, and I'm still dying against this guy. And so I just keep going. And this final fight I'm having with him, I'm out of missiles. I only have regular shots left, which thank God they actually damage him. I'm taking him down. I'm dodging his fire blast, tail strikes. I can't even take another hit at this point. And I get him down, and the baby M drains him, and I counter his weakened attack at that point, and there's this really cinematic of you're like grabbing his neck and unloading in him, and that was it. And I was just like, that is the perfect way to have ended this fight as part of that cinematic, like, and I was just like, oh, I am so done and happy this is over, and but oh wow. I did. I enjoyed that. Did you have any moments of just like, this worked out perfectly, I can't believe I beat him on my last little bit?
No, I think that fight was great in general, just because it was, you know, when you were saying you like you had all of the items at that point, I wonder if that was maybe why they made it easier to go back and get a lot of them with the power bombs and the baby Metroid, was because they wanted to have a fight that sort of assumes that you have most of the items and is still difficult. But at any rate, it was a great way to finish the game. It was epic. It was really difficult, and it had the baby Metroid kind of helping you out and weakening Ridley and giving you energy to keep going, and it was a great way to close out the game.
Yep. Except for the part where I got super frustrated with it because I was dying against him so many times. Could have done a little less of that.
Other than that.
Can you believe that fusion mode is four times as hard? Like four times as much damage?
Yeah, I think I'm going to pass on that too.
Oh my god. And it's also only unlockable if you have the amiibo.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. They also said, oh, but there's a regular difficult mode, but
hard mode. That's two times the damage.
I feel like there's such a, like, I feel like people who play Metroid games and go, well, that was fun, but I want to play it again, but much harder, is already a small subset. And then those people would also have to buy an amiibo, whereas
people who... And a 3DS amiibo reader.
Yes, if they don't have the new 3DS, then they have to buy that just to unlock an extra mode. While a lot of people who do have the reader and the amiibo like me don't really need to play that mode, so... It just seems like a bad mismatch of priorities.
Yeah, I agree.
But moving on from that note, what did you think of the game overall?
I really like this game. Especially the fact that it has been so long since last time I played a Metroid game that I had this much fun with. And it was, like, as I was playing this game, I would constantly go back way of, like, ooh, like, how does this compare with Super Metroid or Metroid Fusion? Like, is this game as good as or better or, like, what? Like, I was constantly comparing it with the best in the series, and that is exactly where this game should have been, and it was, and I was really happy with that. Like, And like I said before, when the game ended with the ex-parasite getting infected, like, that was such a fanboy moment for me, that, and then I immediately went into playing Metroid Fusion, and like this entire month has been Metroid filled and been fun, and I really enjoyed my time with it, which was the opposite reaction that I had when I played the last Metroid game of Other M. So, Other M, I actually played Super Metroid just to get the bad taste out of my mouth. Like, I looked up the last time I played a Metroid game in my, like, I keep a little game journal, and that was my notes, was that I immediately went and played Super Metroid because of the bad taste left in my mouth from Other M. So, like, I really enjoyed this game. And yes, I have some problems with it. And I don't yet know if I'm really going to replay this game anytime soon. Like, I love to replay Super Metroid and Metroid Fusion, but I do really enjoy this game, and it comes in as an easy third favorite in the series for me.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed it, especially having played the original to compare. There are so many improvements in the, just in the quality of life with the map and being able to select weapons much more easily and, you know, having consistent upgrades, but they just added a lot of variety. Even though that was one of the things I complained about, compared to the original game, there's so much variety in the levels and upgrades and fights with the Metroids. Like you were saying, compared to the other Metroid games, I wouldn't put it at the top above, say, Super Metroid or Metroid Fusion, but it's definitely among the top.
Yeah. And it really makes me hope that they actually create a new Metroid game. Because, like, I feel like the last couple have... Like, there's Other M, sure. But, like, Fusion came out and it was great. And then they did Zero Mission. And I feel like this is sort of the extension of Zero Mission of Samus Return. So it's like, yes, they've been remaking these classics and bringing them back up into a more modern versioning, which is fantastic. But also give us Fusion 2 or whatever you want to call it. Like, give us something after Fusion, or give us something that takes place somewhere else in the timeline than other than just around Super Metroid. Like, give us something new to talk about, and that would make me feel great.
The story has never been, like, the most important part, but I did really like how they played around with that and had more of a story in Metroid Fusion. I'd really like to see that go forward, and they would also have to, you know, play around with the upgrade, since it's still canon that, you know, Samus has kind of been fused with Metroids, which was a great twist, but this isn't a podcast about how great Metroid Fusion is. Anyway, I agree that I would like to see more sort of beyond that timeline and how Samus's story moves forward rather than just seeing these in-between scenes and remakes.
Yeah. And I think that covers Metroid Samus Returns.
Yep, I will say, kind of the opposite of you, I've been thinking about how I would like to replay Metroid Other M just to see, like, going in knowing what some of the limitations are and that I should just ignore all of the story and dialogue completely and see if it, like, if the gameplay stands up, if I'm just ignoring everything around it, and if it's as... Because I remember being unhappy with it, but that was mostly the writing and the characterization of Samus.
Yes, that is probably where most of my sourness comes from. I remember there was a... It goes with, like, there's some first-person sections, and you again fight a... Oh, we're just completely going to spoil Other M, aren't we?
Nobody cares.
I kind of want to go back and... I don't remember why you fight a... the Mother Metroid in Other M. Like, did they clone the Metroids? Is that the story? Like, I don't remember. All I remember is how awful Samus was characterized and the fact that you were, like, locked, all of your powers are locked because you might damage the starship, whatever you're on, or...
No, it was much worse than that. It was stupid. She saw her old commander and he was like, hey, don't use any of your cool powers. And she was like, okay.
Until you're not my commanding officer anymore. And I love the fact that you'll go into, like, everyone mentions this, but you go into a zone where it's, like, overheated, it's super hot, and so you don't have the armor that protects you from the super heat. So you take damage, and you have to, like, figure your way through that area without dying. And then later he goes, okay, I authorize you use your upgraded suit now, which will protect you. And it's just like, oh my god.
Okay, this isn't a podcast about how bad Metroid M, Metroid M is either, so.
Okay.
If we're going off the rails, I would rather talk about Metroid Fusion.
Yes. Oh, like I said, I just replayed it. I love that game. And there is so much story in the middle of that game. And it is all about, like, she's talking about, hey, I remember my old commander and how he would treat me. And, like, this is, like, that sort of, like, that endearment would come through. But at the same time, sorry.
I will say.
Maybe Fusion should be on our list for next year.
one thing about Other M that, you know, I keep thinking about in retrospect was, the characterization of Samus would make more sense if it was a prequel, like, before she went off on her own and, like, saved the universe three times, it would make more sense.
Yeah.
But the way it's presented is, it just doesn't.
Yeah, it's a mess. So. It's a mess. And I do remember there are a couple of good, like...
That's what the Other M stands for.
Platforming,
It's just a mess.
Do I still own that game, or did I get rid of it because I just knew I would never play it again?
I think I rented it, but I recently saw that Club Nintendo had a coupon, and I never use my Club Nintendo points for anything anymore because they're useless, so...
Yeah, they redid Club Nintendo, and I haven't used it since then.
Yeah, there's basically no free stuff except for, like, wallpapers, and very rarely there will be... like a mini Picross game just for that. Otherwise, it's all like pay a bunch of points to get a 20% off coupon for another game.
Anyways.
Which is sad.
Yes.
I think we're getting radically off topic at this point.
Yes. Let's talk about, so next month, we are going to play Life is Strange. Is it referred to as season one or like,
I think it's just, Life is Strange.
Just Life is Strange. It's an episodic game. And I think it's on, like, every platform at this point. It's a prequel. That's what it is. There's a prequel that just came out this year. So we're going to check out the first season that is the main story. Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is next month, December 31st. Expect us then. I would like to, as we wrap up, I would like to take a moment and thank Carbohydrin and Funk Fiction for letting us use their songs for our intro and outros respectively. Their work is great, and you can check out more by following the links in the description of our episode. And with that, we leave you by saying game on, and also go play Metroid Fusion.
Yes, please.
Okay.